Hello, welcome to Workplace Wake Up. I'm Jen Shaw. Every week, I spend about 15 minutes covering key legal developments, introducing you to interesting guests, and providing some entertainment to start your workday. I hope you enjoy this week's episode. Okay, how did we get to the end of April? More importantly, how did I get to be 58 years old? I just turned 58 yesterday. I cannot even believe it. It's crazy. My 40th high school reunion is this year. This is nuts. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about here today. I'm just having a moment of self-reflection, though. And I want to talk about why being a leader can be so hard. This is a topic that is near and dear to my heart. Because my personality is such that I want to please people. I want people to like me. I want people to think I do a good job. I want people to want to work with me. I want employees to think I'm a good coach and a good mentor. I care about those things. Now, I know there are a lot of people who say they don't care about what other people think, and maybe they really don't. I don't know because I can't imagine it, because I do care, and I might even care too much. How that translates into me being a leader is that sometimes I don't deliver messages in the clearest way. Sometimes I don't set expectations in a way that everybody understands because I don't want to upset anyone. And I don't want to create any sort of a negative interaction. So I sometimes beat around the bush. Or I will not address an issue until it really, really, really bugs me. And then I sort of over-address the issue because I got upset. I got frustrated by it. These are not signs of a good leader, in case you were wondering. And I have really struggled with this. Our law firm, as many of you know, changed in 2016, the end of 2016. My partner and just basically brother, Greg Valenza, retired. Well, he doesn't like me to say retired. He's semi-retired. And I became the only partner in the firm. And we went through a big change. We stopped doing litigation. We focused more on preventive strategies. We really exclusively on preventive strategies. We do training, investigations, advice and counsel, audits, that sort of thing. And it required me to start doing everything that Greg used to do because Greg was our managing partner and he did all of the back of the house stuff, the budgets, the hiring decisions, the policies, the dealing with the retirement people, dealing with the brokers for space, all of that. Computer guy, he did all of that. I took over those responsibilities and our director of firm administration, Ronnie Stover, took on a lot of those responsibilities. And together, we have learned how to be better leaders. And it has not come without pain. It has not come without learning, without the need to apologize, without a lot of self-reflection and growth. Because I think being a leader for most of us is not something we are born with. We don't know how to mentor and encourage other people necessarily. We're not born with the ability to walk that fine line between holding people accountable and encouraging their best performance. We're not born with the ability to negotiate things like vendor contracts if that's not what we're used to doing. So I think we need to spend a lot more time pondering what it takes to be a good leader in your organization. Because everybody is a leader. I mean, one of the things I think is interesting is that I sort of thought that I was becoming a leader when Greg left, but I was supposed to be a leader before that. And I tried, but I didn't really know too much what I was doing. And since then, I've gone to classes and I've had a coach and I read all the time about management techniques and ways to motivate and ways to make sure that I'm being fair and doing the right thing. And I still muck this up 90 ways to Sunday. I still do it wrong sometimes. So one of the things I think we should do now that we've crawled out of the major COVID crisis, obviously catastrophe that we were in, And we're starting to look at being back on track, making initiatives for our HR team, thinking about where we want to focus. I think leadership training is critical. We need to make sure everyone in the organization understands what it takes to be an effective leader. Because let's face it, let's say I'm not a supervisor, I'm not a manager, I'm an hourly employee. Let's say I work in a retail store with 12 other people on my shift. I'm not a lead, I'm not in charge in any way. I'm still a leader. When a new person comes, I have to think about, how am I going to train them? How can I make myself accessible to them so they learn quickly? How can I nicely correct them when they make mistakes? All of those things require good leadership skills. And a lot of times we focus our leadership training only on the traditional leaders, you know, people in the C-suite, people who are directors or assistant directors or supervisors. Everybody needs to understand leadership. And what is interesting to me is that when you teach everyone about leadership, they demonstrate more leadership and it makes other people's jobs easier, right? So when everyone is demonstrating good communication, fairness, being appropriate, it's easier for me to do that. And it's easier for me to hold people accountable when they aren't. So leadership has to be trained, in my opinion. We need to help each other do that. It's just not something that most of us are natural at doing. Now, the other thing that makes it hard to be a leader is that the ball keeps moving, okay? The target is not stationary. So I used to think that remote work wasn't effective, wasn't productive. Well, I have several lawyers now who work full-time remote and they do a great job. There's no problem. Now, would I like them to be in the office? Yes, because I like them as people. And it would be nice to be able to have lunch with them and go next door to their office and talk to them and be able to interact with them more than via Teams or some sort of a video conference, right? Zoom. But they're very productive and they're very efficient and they do a great job with our clients. I have absolutely nothing to complain about. But it took me a little while to figure that out. As each person started doing it and they were successful, then I thought, okay, this is working. But I had to change my perspective. And I talked about this a few weeks ago, this idea that being a leader means you have to be willing to re-examine your perspectives. You have to be willing to say, I was wrong. I didn't think of it that way. This is something that makes a lot of sense. I appreciate you educating me, right? Let's look at what we used to think, and does it still make sense? We should actually, as leaders, be constantly questioning ourselves. Is what we're doing effective? Is it still working for the organization? And if you have leaders who are reticent to re-examine their own perspectives, their own beliefs, they need coaching. They need to understand how to do that, because that is what allows the collaborative relationship with everyone in the organization to develop. Because when you have a situation where everybody's willing to take a moment to step back and look at the other person's perspective and not necessarily change their mind about their views, but be willing to change their mind, be willing to consider it, that is huge for organizational development. That makes a huge difference in efficiency and productivity and morale and happiness and retention. So when we talk about leadership, I think it's important for HR professionals to think about that concept very, very broadly. Understand what it means to be a leader. And in your organization, the definition, the attributes of a good leader may be different than in another organization, because maybe where you work, you need people to be able to think very quickly and respond quickly. Whereas in another environment, maybe it's something that is more in a laboratory. We need people to be calm and take steps and make sure they do everything step by step by step. And so we don't want anyone moving quickly or processing quickly. We want it to all be very regimented. There's a million different workplaces and a million different ways to define leadership. But now that we've got a little time, and I'm not saying any of you are sitting around eating bonbons, because you certainly aren't, But now that we've got some time to think about some strategic initiatives and some things that we want to do for our organizations over the next 24, 36 months, leadership should be at the top of your list. Looking at what does it take to be a good leader? How do you promote leaders? One of the things that I see a lot is we promote people who are good at their skills, but who don't know how to lead. Well, if we haven't taught them how to lead and now they're going to be in a leadership role, they may not be successful. Now, we may get lucky, and they may get lucky because maybe they are one of those few folks who really sort of has an innate ability to lead, but most of us need to learn. So you want to think about this as far as succession planning goes. How do we interview people for supervisory and managerial roles in the organization? What kind of questions do we ask about leadership? How do we assess leadership potential? What tools do we give folks before they're put in those positions so they can learn what they need to know to succeed when they become a formal leader, right? When they're in a supervisor or managerial role. So thinking through your training and your coaching and the organization, thinking through the path of promotion, right? Making sure that you're identifying what does an effective leader look like in your organization? What do they need to be able to do? What are the skills, both soft and hard skills? What do they need to be able to do to be a leader, to drive the success of other people? Because let's think about that for a second. What does a leader do? A leader gets everyone down the field, right? So quarterbacks are considered leaders on a football team, right? Okay, we're going to call the play. We're going to get down the field. Now, some of you who know me know I don't really care about football, but it's kind of an interesting concept to me that what does a quarterback do, right? They're sort of there to motivate and get everybody going in the right direction. Think about a coxswain when they're rowing crew, right? I just watched The Boys in the Boat. Oh my gosh, it's such a good movie. It is so well done and so inspirational. And these students at the University of Washington were just unbelievable in their determination. And each of them became leaders in their own right. But that coxswain sitting there on the top of that boat, getting them to stroke and getting them to turn it on when they needed to turn it on and back it off when they needed to back it off, was incredible. And that's what you want to figure out how to develop in your leaders. And don't forget, it's not just people with a leadership title that we're talking about, okay? It's everybody in the organization, depending on their level and their role and their classification, there are going to be different expectations for them as leaders, of course. The higher up you go, the more you have to do in terms of being a leader. But everyone should understand generally what is expected of them in terms of leadership. It always reminds me about this issue when I hear folks say, well, they're a good employee, but they have a bad attitude. Okay, well, then they're not a good employee. You can't have one without the other. Just because you're technically proficient, if you don't also have a good relationship with your team, if you're not a leader, if you're not appropriate in your workplace conduct, you're not a good employee. Being technically proficient is not enough to be a successful leader. So we have to make sure that everybody understands that and that we don't allow people to progress through an organization when they're lacking those soft skills just because they've got the hard ones, just because they can do the technical things that we need them to be able to do. So take a few minutes this next week. Think about, who do you think are the most effective leaders in your organization and what do they do to drive success? How do they show up as a good leader? And what can you do to encourage those same behaviors, those same traits in everyone else? And this doesn't have to be handled by someone who has a PhD in organizational psychology or development, right? We can all do this. You take a step and you look at what's going right. Who's driving success? How are they doing it? What skills and abilities do they have? And how can we encourage those in other people? That investment you make will pay off a million times over. if you're willing to take a step back and think about it in a very sort of clinical way. What is working? What isn't? And how do we get more people to be doing what is working? Everyone, thank you so much for your time today. I hope the information is helpful. Don't forget to let me know if there's a topic you'd like me to cover or if you'd like to be a guest on the show. Just let me know. We will be having several guests over the next couple of months. So if anybody is interested, let me know, or you have ideas about someone who would be fun to have on the podcast. Thanks for joining me today, everyone. Have a great day. Workplace Wake Up, including our guests and hosts, do not provide legal advice in this podcast. Do not act upon any of the information discussed in this podcast without first consulting a licensed attorney in your jurisdiction. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to spread the word, please share it with others, post about it on social media, and/or rate and review it. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook, and email us at info@shawlawgroup.com.